There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hitting in the shadow undercover at night. Let my battle cross my two in tights. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
And welcome to the number one new social Marvel Avengers Alliance. We are from the Helicarrier. I am Epic Boss McFall, coming to you with my golden voice over this microphone. With me, as always, is Soapbox Klotz.
Yeah.
And I changed it up a little bit because I want to say, and with the headlines, here comes Golden Age Ibbit.
Oh, nicely done. By the way, I just realized you're sounding so much better than last week. The cold is gone.
Oh, yeah. All that, all the sickness is gone.
What do we mean he sounds better? Yeah. All right, here are your headlines. Not going to surprise anyone. PvP 20, Season 20, is in full swing. We got all the deets about that. And Spec Ops 25 continues merrily along. And really, no other exciting new developments in the game, but that's okay. That's okay. Still got Chapter 8, we got Spec Ops 25, and we got PvP 20.
And it's a lot.
It is a lot. It's plenty. It's plenty. You got plenty of stuff to do. Farm for weapons in the mission. Actually, farm for EISO in the missions of the Spec Ops. That's the order of business.
Yeah,
but what's on sale?
Well, the sales this week are also not that exciting. We have the item, the techno-organic endoskeleton, on sale for 64 gold. That is returned. And it is expired already, but if over the weekend you were paying attention, you had the opportunity to take advantage of the gold sale, and you would have gotten Moonin's Eye, yet another passive item from the Playdon team for us to try to counter certain strategies. I've seen some rumbling around. A couple of people picked it up. A lot of people said they didn't think it seemed like it was worth it. I've got one, but I haven't slapped it on yet, so I can't really give you any feedback on the quality of it. But it's interesting to see that they're rolling out new items that are meant to be used kind of passively to counter certain strategies or shore up against certain things.
I did see some feedback in our lounge that said certain aspects of it were bugged still. They weren't working appropriately. But that on paper, it seems pretty good. Although it's very easy to predict that this was coming because we just won one in PvP that was melee, right? Unarmed melee. So they're like, yeah, they're going to do a ranged one next. And sure enough, they did. I saw it on paper, man. I just didn't care. It did not grab me. What about you guys?
I picked, obviously we got the last one via PvP, if you know you were high enough in the ranks. And I did also pick one up since it's my, I call it MAA tax. You know, whenever there's a gold sale, it's the tax that I pay to play this game. And so I've picked it up, but I've not tried either one of them, but I kind of want to run with both of them and just see how things go. This would be the perfect opportunity if we had a defensive team test vault place where you could set up your teams with weapons loadout you want and then just see how they do against real people or against real teams. But obviously that's not likely to happen. That would be the way to do it. I don't know if we've talked about that aspect, but maybe you set up your defensive team and then you run your team, any team you want, against it. So you can say, all right, here's my defensive team. I see a lot of people still doing Groot and Gamora. I'm going to do Agent Groot and Gamora. And I'm going to be the, instead of having AI go up against your defensive team, you go up against your defensive team and see how it does. Be a cool way to do it.
Yeah.
Be interesting. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, if there was a way in the simulator to play with a new weapon before you buy it, you know, only in a simulator, Because they've done that before. They when they released Shanna, they had special Shanna missions that you could have all her powers and do crazy stuff in the simulator. Same with when they released new stuff for the Guardians of the Galaxy through the simulator, you had different things available to you. Yeah, if they would release it, that way I go, oh, this would fit my team or not. Because especially when you're not a gold buyer. Now, I am typically a gold buyer. I'm with IBIT. I call it the MAA tax as well. This is I'm supporting Playdom with their game when they do the gold sale. However, I typically do the $20 one because that's the most gold. It's the most efficient way to spend my money and get gold. And the weapons for a lot of the times aren't really just jumping out at me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I really don't know what to say to that.
There haven't been, has there been any weapon that came out of that? The nanite, the one that throws a shield on you. What is it? The nanite
nail gun.
That one came out as part of the inductive nail gun. Yeah. That one came out as part of a gold sale edition, didn't it?
I don't think so, because that one can be farmed through,
now there's two versions. There's a PvP one. There's a PvP nanite nail gun that does a shield for you, and it does counterattacks. So when you counterattack, you put a shield on yourself. Mm-hmm. And then there's a different nail gun. There's the yellow. There's the nanite nail gun is a silver one. I think it has come out once as part of a gold sale, but it may have been a part of a pack. It may have been sold. That was different. I don't know.
Yeah, the Raff Shank, people are saying that. That's right. I forgot about the Raff Shank. That one was a gold sale, and that one was pretty
decent.
There
was also the Batstone AoE machine gun.
Right. That's right, yeah. That might be the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
Which was actually pretty good. Like, the only reason I don't use it more often is because I was such a low level when I got it. I was, like, less than 150, I think. So it just, nowadays, being 200+, it does no damage, but... it was actually pretty good for PvE when I got it. So I was plowing through a lot of stuff with that because it just did enough damage. You know what I mean? It might not have been a PvP all-star, but it was definitely something that helped farm a lot faster, a lot more efficiently. Right. So.
Oh, here we go. Nope. Nanite Inductive Nail Gun was a gold sale bonus as well. So it was a PvP Season 2 tournament prize. Wow. Way back. Season 2.
Holy crap.
It's also an incursion reward. But from July 26th to July 30th, during the gold sale, it was a bonus item as well.
Okay.
Pretty sure that's how I got it. I don't think I got it as part of the PvP season 2.
I can't remember. I do have it. So either I did really well in that second season, which is possible because I would have been running Mockingbird. That's because I had Spec Ops. I think at that time I was running Mockingbird and the Scarlet Witch, which was just the team to have. Then you just could not. I had that weapon, you know, the circular one with the red stripes. we were discussing that before. No, the one that actually puts phased on your agent that everybody used forever, because you could also be a protector.
Oh, right.
And I had that. So basically I would protect my team and be phased. And so you couldn't touch on offense, you could not touch my team because I would just rest. And then, of course, Scarlet Witch and Mockingbird would just destroy everybody.
Right.
So I did really well that season. Hitting,
everybody be attacking you, not hitting you. And then, that was the Sinister Scepter.
There you
was
go.
The Sinister Scepter. The big phase thing. Yeah, that thing with Mockingbird and Scarlet Witch, man, those were the days. Man.
Yeah. And rightfully so, they nerfed the Sinister Scepter because... I mean, you should not be able to protect and be phased. That's just wrong.
They just nerfed Protector so that you couldn't. Yeah, it was not triggerable when you were phased.
It's true. So, the sales are not going. They haven't been stellar in the last couple of weeks, if not months, you know?
The sales have all been things that have been available before. Like the techno-organic skeleton was available.
But some of them are actually go along with Spec Ops. So you get, but even then the 64 gold weapons haven't been, have this.
Right.
Cause that's what sales should be, is what's come in the past that you can't get. You know, I totally understand that. And maybe because I have most of everything, I'm not ecstatic about the sales. That could be it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the last really great item to pick up as a gold purchase was a weather control device, right?
Yeah, apparently. I still don't have it. I didn't get it. I'm not sure if I'll get it the next time around or not.
You will.
You will and you should, because it's a decent weapon to use against Molly teams, because it can put not depowered.
Exhausted.
Exhausted, right. So that's a decent one to pick up.
Sure, fine. I'll do that.
Yeah, it's... I've seen enough people putting it to very good use that I can say that it is an item that should be bought. Mm-hmm. Everybody should get a weather control device. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's just, we're at that point.
You get a weather control device. And you get a weather control device.
It's Cube 0.5. You know, I don't know that it's necessarily as overtly powerful as the Cube is.
Right.
I don't know that it fits into as many team builds as the Cube just automatically does. But, a lot of people stopped using the Cube to use it. I mean, it's that good of an item. That's saying
Shut
a lot.
Shut your mouth.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Some people gave up 20%. I mean...
Okay. I love those lines. Okay, so everybody here watching on Twitch, I know we're going through Blog Talk Radio. Thank you to Blog Talk Radio for hosting us. It's blogtalkradio.com/from the helicarrier. You can check out some great high-def audio there every week. And they do some amazing promotions, and they love our show. So we get on the front page a lot, which is awesome over there. But if you're watching on Twitch, they don't do video still on Blog Talk, so we're still on Twitch with video. So the other day, Paul, I was sitting there, and I'm playing PvP, and somebody has a cube because they're holding it in their hands like a middle finger, right? And everybody's dodging it. Out loud, I went, oh, my God, the dodge. And I was like, and I just slapped my hand over my mouth going, oh, my God, Paul should never hear that come out of my mouth. Those of you at home who didn't see the video, I slapped my hand over my mouth in a very cartoon style. And I did that literally. I mean, I actually did that in a moment going, oh, crap, don't never say that again, Epic Boss, never. So, yeah, so I understand what you're saying, Paul. I have to kind of give that up a little bit.
The next weapon to farm, again, as long as there are going to be Molly teams coming out, the next one to farm is going to be the Chapter 8 Mission 6 weapon, which is it's the D1S-I5-5P4R7A, or when you look at it, it says "Dis is Sparta." So
nice.
It's the one you want to pick up because it's the only depower weapon in the game. A lot of depower characters, but this one is a depower weapon that has a chance to perform a preemptive counter when attacked. So it is a nice weapon to pick up. It's a boot. You want the boot.
You know, here's a little taste of what's going on. We're about to do Spartans, but here's a little, speaking of Sparta, here's a little taste of what's coming up, current events. What the hell's going on in PvP with you? So we're going to get to that. So new Spartan shout outs. I found two in the chat room, and not in the chat room. I found it in the lounge, Agents Only Lounge. So if you sent me a message and I missed that you made Spartan, I apologize. And I try to make sure when you're in the lounge, if you're an Agents Only Lounge member, put the word Spartan or at least the number 300 in your post, because I can search that. And I find you very quickly. So Agent Kendrick and Agent Trine, I'm not sure what your actual agent's names, but those are the people in our lounge. Congratulations on making 300. Agent Trine did it this week. He's like, now that I'm 299, it's the push to 300. And he did it before the show aired. So nice. Congratulations, Agent Trine. So those are our Spartans. Now back to current events. What the hell is up with PvP? I'm in a battle right now, and I'm in the opposite team in Diamond League. Uh-huh. Has 3,000 hit points to my 16,000 hit points.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. What? I don't know. I've been getting those matchups for the last couple days, and it's funny because I tend not to look at the enemy's health pool until I start whittling them down to see, okay, you know, what, which weapon choice should I make now to, you know, guarantee a critical. It's funny cause I'll like say, all right, well, let's start off with, we'll do weather control device. Let's do the fire tornado, and woof, the whole team goes up in flame and ash and smoke. And, you're wondering what is causing it? Because I think out of the, I don't know, 10 battles I did today, seven of them were these weak teams, were these below what they should be teams. So I don't know why we're getting matched up like that, because I'm in diamond. So seems odd.
Yeah, as soon as I hit, it's like getting to Diamond, I'll face good teams. And then as soon as I cross that bridge into Diamond, it's like, nope, you're going to get 3 points per battle no matter what, because we got all level nothings in this room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't upgraded to the new tier of items from this Spec Ops. So my pairings have still been reasonably good. I don't really have a problem on offense very often, maybe once every few days. I've been doing at least my 5 a day since the beginning of the tournament. I haven't missed any days. And so I haven't had a lot of matchmaking issues, but I'm still having that issue that I've talked about on the last few shows where, my offense only gives me so many points and one loss will give me usually two to three fights.
Right.
And McFall, you were saying that it was really bad for you right now, right?
Today is the first day. I've been doing my 5 and sandbagging, apparently, because that's what I do. I don't know. But I've been doing my 5, and it's been okay. I'm doing a good third to half of my defensive battles are wins. You know, a third being, obviously, and when there's only 3 battles, I won 1, lost 2. But then everything else beyond that, if it gets 4, 5, 6 battles, and it hasn't been that many away from the keyboard battles, but I'm winning a good 50%. So that's a nice balance, right? Mm-hmm. And then today, you know, it's Tuesday, it's show day, so I'm just playing along. I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to play a whole bunch of PvP battles today. And I get all these wins, and then I logged out, and I was doing other stuff, and we're getting ready for the show, and I opened up PvP again to check the calendar, because we're going to try to announce something here later. And when I opened it up to check the PvP calendar, it was like, you're now in Gold League. And I said some very choice words. And said, are you kidding me? And I opened up the battle history, and here's my string of wins, and it fills the page. And then there's only 2, for those of you who aren't old like me, 2 AFK battles.
What does AFK stand for? Do you pronounce it AFK?
AFK, yeah, you AFK.
All of a sudden, you're Hank yeah. Hill. What is this TLDR? Bobby?
It's a teal deer. Thank you.
Why are you telling me Tolder, Bobby?
Oh, you stupid kids and your shows these days. Anyway, so I get in, and there's this long list of wins and 2 battles. And I'm looking, I was like, how did I lose ranking? I went from 5% to 10% with 2 battles. And then I noticed all my wins were +3, +4, +2. And my losses were -29 and -29. I'm like, this is what the normals are complaining about. Because I've been having this. Normals. Yeah, I've been having this celebrity walking on 300. I don't know what you guys are talking about. The battle seemed fair. Everything seems right. And then I'm like, what the hell? So there is definitely some issues. We've got a question coming up about PvP that we might be addressing a lot of it now. And so far, it's just in Diamond League. It's right in, you know, Gold and Silver League. Silver League is going to be those paper bag teams because they're gold. They're silver, rather. But then as you move up through Silver and into Gold, you should be fighting more challenging teams. And then literally the switch flips. I hit Diamond, and I'm hitting paper bag teams again. Mm-hmm. And I'm destroying them. And this afternoon, I was at under 5%. Like, cool. You know, I like this progression. And 2 battles drops me 5%, whole 5% down. It's like, what in the weird? What? I'm sorry, I got distracted as I said my word. Now I can't speak.
What in the weird?
What in the weird? That's a thing, right? People say weird now, sure, don't they?
The weird, yeah. What in the weird?
Agent Arena says, I call it pennies for wins and bills for losses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's going on. Going back to as a current event to the sales, what do you guys think about the beanie caps for Molly being the PvP bonus items?
Won't get fooled again. That's what I think.
Those give me a chuckle when I log in every day, but I would never buy one.
Yeah, I agree.
Not after the deal last time with, all right, week left before the end of PvP. How about we just introduce a silver purchasable item that has almost as good stats as the gold items.
I already predict it now because they're doing the beanies, but then it's going to be full on Molly hoodie for the silver purchasable. you know, boost your team.
I was really hoping we'd see a Louise Belcher hat from Bob's Burgers, the bunny ears.
that's crossing the streams, man. You can't never cross the streams.
Yes.
Little side note, if anybody watches Archer and Bob Burgers, at the beginning of season 4, there's a great little moment there, just saying.
Yeah. Right, his witness relocation program thing, but no, basically
he just kind of woke up.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, all right. So how are we doing? We know PvP is broken. It's weird. We can talk a little bit more where there's a question coming up. What about Spec Ops? Are you being distracted from Spec Ops? Are you able to get through it? How are you handling that?
I got through it. I've got Chase, and I've got basically I'm in right now what I call kind of the collection stage. So rather than do Spec Ops every day, I'm doing Spec Ops every few days after I collect a bunch of UISO, because I want to basically get all of them up to at least 4 stars to unlock the research, but going for 5 stars just so I can get the command points and use it as a farming tool for EISO. You know, we've moved from the days of farming the missions for weapons over to farming the heroics for the EISO, the special EISOs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did get Molly's though. And, been enjoying that. The one that basically potentially gives her a chance to avoid being asleep after her big long run of kid drop kicking and wind up punching the opponent. But it doesn't proc as much as I'd like.
What about you, Klotz?
I hate the Spec Ops. somebody else had made a comment. I think it was might have been Greg Darov in the Agents Only Lounge. I recall the person said that they thought it was really novel and interesting that they tried to be creative with the Spec Ops, but the limitation is just so ugh. And you know, I don't have like my Molly's just going for 9 right now, so I'm waiting for her to come back because I hadn't really put, you know, I had not decided to use her in PvP yet, even though I know how good she is. So I really wasn't pushing hard on her. So once the Spec Ops started and I realized how important she was going to be and with the heroic battle and such, I felt like, okay, well, I better, you know, better put the pedal to the metal on her and get her trained up quick. But yeah, just, I hate not being able to at least bring somebody that I know I can rely on, whether it's just my agent, you know, just to be like, oh, well, no, you can't take the agent. Yeah, that's right. No, I was thinking about yesterday's daily that I couldn't take my agent and I was frustrated with. But yeah, no, in general, I just like, I think it's a cool idea, but like the more they restrict who we can take, it kind of adds frustration. So when they do it with like a strike team or they take a couple people away because of story reasons, it's usually fine. And we usually find interesting ways to get around it. But when you limit it to just these handful of guys, it just gets real tedious after. Like, I'm seeing people left and right spending money on respins when they do the heroic battles and stuff because they just don't want to push through them again. Mm-hmm. Now, I hesitate to say that out loud because Playdom's probably like, heck yeah, high five. Great. Let's do them all like that.
We're going to restrict the next one to just people named Union Jack.
Yeah. I know some people got a kick out of it, but I just wish we had a little bit more option, a little wider cast of characters to use in different battles and such. But I do love the idea that they put heroic battles in the Spec Ops. Mm-hmm. We talked about it a little bit before. My theory is that they'll probably get slid into the main game afterwards. It might not happen right away.
I hope so.
My guess is that we'll see those EISOs added to the roulettes for the
daily.
The daily that gives you UIs or EISOs. Yeah.
No, yeah. That's also very possible as well.
I haven't done a daily mission in so long, man. It's not even funny.
Oh, I'm doing them right now just because there's only 2 days that I do the dailies anymore. And it's AISO and EISO day, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've gotten so busy and then they dropped all this extra content that is time sensitive that I haven't had time to even think about going into the daily missions, because not that it's a bad thing. It's a good thing that we're getting experience, because we can still get a free gold bar every 16,000 points after 300 and, right. and that. So it's not a bad thing. But when I say it like this, it's just, there's no time sensitive thing to it. All you're giving me is 1,000 experience. Thanks. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's not like I'm having to farm gloves to get Rogue's alt, which is a time sensitive thing. I'm not having to, right. I'm not asking you to do that. You've given us plenty of content to manage right now. But yeah, that's why I don't
need to be a little more than that. And I think you're right. And that's, you know, that's why it's limited me to just those 2 days. It's that the rewards for the other days just aren't enough for me to say, all right, I'm going to go through, even pushing through whatever, 5-6 battles, that seems like nothing. But when there's all this other content going on, it's like, all right, yeah, I've got limited time to play. I'm going to focus my time on PvP or focus my time on Spec Ops. So yeah, it's true.
You know, and that's something to be said for those who are leveling and those who are lower leveled characters, especially under 150. If you're a free player, especially for the free players, your daily is more important than anything else. Mm-hmm. Your daily is where you're going to get free silver, free command points, free gold. Mm-hmm. You know, if you 5-star that every day, not only will you get the experience from playing through it and the silver from playing through it, which is a nice chunk of money after doing 5-stars and playing through it, you'll get the 1,000 experience. You'll get the gold bar every day, which is very important, and 5 CP every day guaranteed. So yeah, so you need to do that if you're a free player or a low level player, and that's how you personally, that's how I would level up my character, my hero, is through that.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go back to Spec Ops for a minute, Klotz, and say, you know, honestly, my take is the opposite here, because I love the Runaways and I have bought them, and my Molly is 14 and fully decked out. My Nico is 14 and fully decked out. My Carolina actually is only level 13 now, level 12 or 13. And she was being a little bit slower about leveling her because I got Angela and some of this other stuff. I actually like using Chase and Victor, and because my other three are balanced pretty well, that I can just tear through the Spec Ops. However, with that being said, even at level 12, I think is what my Carolina is at, she has a hard time with Groot and Rocket. Mm-hmm. I've used different variations of all the ideas out there and found one that fits with me, but then it comes down to, am I pyrophoric or not? Because if I'm pyrophoric, I'm screwed. You know, other than that, I've won one out of like 7 or 8 tries. And then I got the middle finger prize. So that was awesome.
Oh, no. Yeah. The strategy that's worked for me, and I've done it maybe 3 times, won all 3 times, is to make sure you've got splash damage on your level 1 attack, and attack the crap out of Groot.
Okay.
And build up the her energy.
So splash damage is an EISO. So on the AISO, you would put the radiation on your level 1, yeah?
No, there's an AISO. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's correct. Yes, the splash damage EISO, and then you do the radiation on the.
Okay. So then you're doing double damage.
Ionizing, is that it?
Yes, the ionizing. Yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite ISO of all time.
That is a great AISO.
That I will never describe as the white crystally thing with the no, I know my ionizing. That's my favorite one.
Lightning bolt on it, or I get one. But yeah. So throw that on your L1, throw the splash damage EISO on there. Take Groot down to when he's a flower pot, and then by that point, you should have enough of the Empyrean energy to do her level 9 attack and obliterate both of them. And if you don't obliterate both of them, you'll at least take Groot out of the equation, and it's probably just 1 or 2 more shots to take out Rocket.
Now, in the chat room, and I know, Abbott, you're going to back me up here. Xanur, Z-A-N-U-R in the chat room, Xanur says the Groot and Rocket heroic boss is the worst heroic boss of all time. Well, I'm gonna let you finish, Xanur, but I'm going to tell you, the Doom Mr. Reed freaking heroic boss was the worst heroic boss of all time. Followed very closely by Phoenix and the magic chick, Celine. Yeah. Oh my god!
Phoenix, Celine, and Sif, and what was Sif? I can't remember who Sif was against.
Yes,
there was. Sif. You were relying so much on RNG. On that's random number generation for Charles. You relied so much on RNG that. You know, even if you did everything right, you weren't guaranteed to win. Yeah, Sif and Enchantress. Oh my god, that was
brutal.
That was a frustrating one. And I got really lucky on that one and got her E ISO like within the first like two or three times I went through it, and I was like, all right, I'm done. Like I spent all this CP to get the right costume and gemmed her all up and everything, went in, did it like I think three times maybe, got the E ISO and was like, yes, done.
And if you've got For 32 CP, you can pick up the Hawkeye movie
suit, alt.
The movie suit, the alt, the infiltrator alt. And if you use that against Bullseye, boy, I mean, it's just like, it's a walk in the park.
Yeah.
I
actually did the Golden Age. Do you mean the Golden Age one or the movie one? Because the movie one.
Movie one.
Really?
Movie one.
So when I did that battle. Age
infiltrator, is there?
Hawkeye is.
I know there's a blaster tactician for the Golden Age, right?
I don't remember. Here's my path there though. When I did, I had the movie alt, and I just couldn't win that battle. But if I did the Golden Age one, it didn't. I don't remember if I got blaster. I think I got blaster. Whatever that I matched Bullseye, but it gave me those trick arrows and the trick shot to follow up automatically, and that's how I got past that battle. Was all the extra turns Hawkeye would take. Hmm. So
Rogue Age is Tecton Blaster, and Avengers Hawkeye is Infiltrator Tactician.
But there are definitely ways that. But yeah, the Sif one and the Phoenix one is like, oh no. Carolina, I can see progress each time, and I can see different things. And I believe, and they say now, they didn't warn us then, but they say now, well, this might be difficult for low level characters. And what they mean is this might be difficult if you're not level 14. You know, because at level 14, it becomes an even playing field, I feel like, on my characters. Because, like, with the Molly, of course, you're going to let me sit here and stew on this name, aren't you? The heroic boss from Mission 1, which is Molly and Nico.
Oh, Punisher.
No. What's the Molly Nico one? Where was that?
There's no Molly Nico one. There's Molly Punisher and Carolina Groot and Rocket, right?
What am I thinking? No, okay. I think I'm thinking Nico in chapter. I think I'm thinking chapter. Sorry, in chapter.
Oh, in chapter eight.
Sorry. You're right. You're correct. In chapter eight, though, there's a Molly Nico versus Arcade
one.
And both of those are level 14. So just walk through that one. Molly Punisher, walk through. Well, I didn't walk through that one, but I got through. I beat it the first time through. But they're level 14s. Carolina Dean was like 11, 10, level 11, maybe. And yeah, it was like, oh no, this is not going to happen. Groot and Rocket got their bounty more times than I care to admit. So it can be tough.
It definitely can be. But it is, you know, again, you got to hand it to Playdom for trying to come up with heroic battles that are winnable, but just require you to constantly look at statuses.
Yeah.
Have a strategy. I guess if all things are equal, I like those better than the ones where you just basically shot to the face, give me the roulette.
Yeah.
You know? I'd much rather have to think about it and actually get some challenge out of the game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But my favorite one so far right now is the Union Jack one in the chapter 8, mission 5. I mean, my Union Jack's been level 14 forever. I love playing him. I love using him. It's so much fun.
As far as bad ones go, I'm surprised nobody mentioned the Fantastic Four one.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic Four against, it's the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, right?
Oh, yes.
Toad and Mystique?
It's Johnny Storm, Thing, and Invisible Woman versus, you got it right. Those guys. And you're right. That was that and the X-Men one, the Scott and Cyclops and some other forgettable character was just brutal. It was not good.
Virgo 309 says 282 Vision was his worst, his or her worst. I don't know. I don't have as much of a problem with that one, because actually it's basically getting dephased. You know, first equip Vision with one of the healing EISOs. Take your first attack. You're gonna get hit. Go into phase mode. Before you go into phase mode, hit them with the one that stuns them, then go into phase mode, recharge, and basically just repeat. And it should be one that kind of takes care of itself. By the way, the Fantastic Four, that's right. They're reminding us that that was against the UFOs.
They're mm-hmm. going to kill both of you right now. Like, chat is ready to tear you apart.
Oh, like, you had nothing to do with that.
My screen just goes, but UFOs. Brotherhood was X-Men.
Correctional. That's right. Yes.
I was going to interrupt earlier and be like, I'm pretty sure Brotherhood was the X-Men.
Oh, yeah. That's easy to say now. Sure, Klotsy. Sure.
Well, but then, like, you guys kept going and then the chat room exploded and I just kind of hid in the corner. I was like, I'll let them tear them apart and then I'll be the king of the helicarrier. You know, no, I'm kidding. It's in fairness though, those came out with the same chapter and they're right like on top of each other, so it's really easy to confuse the two fights because they're both, you know, three character fights with three ISOs to get,
and they're very difficult.
They're both difficult.
Thanks for trying to help us, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, you guys aren't complete morons. I know that.
Maybe not complete.
Well, yeah, there's something about post-game traumatic stress disorder. You know, there's something about that post-Playdom stress disorder, I think is what we might want to dub it, is those battles were just so brutal that you want to get them done and go, you know, forget about it. Correct. And so we did, which is not, for me, it's not true about any of these heroics. You know, even though Carolina Rocket Groot's tough, it's enjoyable to me. I like the challenge that has come with it. So this one's not forgettable. It might not be the best one ever, but it's tough, but in a good way. Again, I have found that anytime it says it's just going to be tough for lower level characters, that means anything that's not 14. So I'm leveling up Carolina Dean now. She's level 12. Yeah, she's level 12 going to 13. I'm using her right now to get all the experience, and then I'll level her to 13. And we'll see what happens. We'll see if it helps out, you know.
So Buck has some very interesting things to drop on chat right now.
Okay.
He goes, I think 15 is coming. I think we got a hint at a new type of ISO. I use sometimes Y ISO in chapter 8.
Okay.
Well,
we have UISO. That's the
where did we get that? Sometimes Y USO. I thought he was making a joke.
It's from the dialogue in chapter 8.
Okay, I haven't been reading all of it.
Oh, apparently. Really? Okay, so Beast actually says that the IU sometimes Y?
Yeah.
That's
funny.
And
apparently he's also saying that they're Terrigen Mist-based ISO. though we shall see.
Boy, if we get it, it's going to have to be Y ISO because we have, like I said, we have UISO for Spec Ops. Mm-hmm. And IISO sounds like you're on the ship and you're talking to your captain. So
IISO. There's no OISO though. There's A, E.
Right.
Right. The regular one's ISO, a refined ISO. And we don't call it R, but it could be ISO. RISO.
Yeah.
So A, E, I, and U, but there's no O-ISO. O.
Right.
So I don't know, man. I
sound very silly right now.
OISO.
All right. So we covered Spec Ops. I'm very slowly moving through. I've got 3 hours left on this research that I'm doing, which I think is the last research. I know Kingfisher just got Chase the other day.
It's just a balance.
He was on vacation. Yeah, but he doesn't have four other podcasts nominated for awards he has to focus on.
Oh, right, sure.
Wow. Okay.
Zing.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of King,
Charles McFall for podcasting egomaniac 2015.
I'll take that. That's fair. So
it is that time for the King, is it not?
It's just about. So we're good on. We'll come back to a question about PvP. We're good on everything else.
There'll be plenty more PvP and Spec Ops talk.
Yeah, there will be. So, all right, here comes.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, for today's segment, we're bringing back an old character that every single agent has. But before we get into that, there are a few things that I think we should talk about. As far as Spec Ops 25, I have completed it, and I finished up all the task list videos. So I'm finally going to get back into making PvP videos once again. Honestly, I've always said I love PvE, and it has been my favorite part of the game, but lately it feels like we've been over PvE'd, to coin a phrase. Oh, and I do know we need to finish some heroic battle videos just in case someone needs them, but other than that, we're pretty good. Today there's going to be an all-new All Hail the King video featuring Angela in PvP. So that'll be the start of the new characters in PvP videos. But like I said, today's segment's going to be using an oldie but goodie. But wait just a minute, it's still too early to talk about that. You almost got me to spill the beans, but they're not done cooking. Now where were we? Oh yeah, Chase Stein. I know that's not where we were, but that's where we are now. So far he's a pretty decent character, and I really like his multi-function level 1 Fistigons. I think he's going to be usable in PvP because he can lock out every single type of ability. So for example, his Firestarter has immobilized, causing the enemy to be unable to use melee abilities. Then there's Shock of the Lightning, which says unable to use buff abilities and debuff abilities. That can come in very handy. And lastly, Boom Boom Pow, unable to use ranged abilities. So depending on what enemies you're facing, you can go ahead and lock them down at least for a round. Then you can decide where you want to go from there. That definitely is going to hurt some characters who only have one type of attack. Or mostly one type. Do I think he's going to be on every single team? No, not even close. But I still look forward to trying him out. And now, for the teams you've all been waiting for. But first, how's everyone doing in PvP? For me, I've barely been attacking. And that's kind of because it doesn't look like I really have to, so I have 25 attacks in only. It would be pretty awesome if I only had to do 50 and still won, but I don't think it's going to be that crazy. Still, I probably won't go over 2,000 rating until the last few days. It's worked so far, so why not keep doing it? Okay, you've waited long enough. For next week's All Hail the King video, we're going to be using good ol' Hawkeye. Now, like Agent Matt said in the group, and I don't know if he goes by Agent Matt in the game or not, but Hawkeye with his new EISO makes for incredibly fun pinpoint target teams. The Knocking EISO, which can be found in Spec Op 25 Mission 3, well, it grants Hawkeye Knocked and Loaded. Hawkeye gains a preemptive attack against targets with pinpoint target. I kind of like to do things in threes. I'd say it's because of OCD, but I guess I'm kind of like Sheldon. Picture that info as an audio side note, not relevant to our team. Okay, so with this new ISO, Hawkeye may just kill your target before they even get their turn. Obviously though, we are very limited on what can cause pinpoint target. For one, we know Hawkeye can. So one thing I like to do is use the classic Hawkeye, that way you can also use the attentive EISO. That causes Hawkeye to attempt to go first in combat. So then he can place pinpoint target himself, and he'll hopefully do that first thing. Then as far as agent items, the gilded semi-auto gun can place it, and I don't know if this is necessarily better, but it is a quick action. So the laser spotter can also do this. That's what I most likely will use, since it is a quick action. After that, the only other hero that has it is Taskmaster. We've used him with Hawkeye in the past, and they do make a pretty cool team. So that's going to be team up number one. But just because these other characters don't have pinpoint target, doesn't mean they're not going to be amazing with Hawkeye. Next up will be Union Jack. And we've had a blast using him with Hawkeye in the past, but now there's going to be even more preemptive counters. Finally.
Nice.
I'm going to have the preemptive counter team that I've always dreamed of. Mwahahaha. Okay, it's hard to convey it through audio, but picture an MWA. H-A-H-A-H-A. And when you see an M before a laugh, you know it's with bad intentions. Dare I say, evil? But that's only team number two. For the third and final team, we're going to use Rocket Raccoon. And just earlier, I saw Hawkeye do three preemptive counters, and then Rocket fired Blam twice. So the math is kind of off, but it was still awesome. Basically though, these teams are super fun and I can't wait to make a video on them. So that's going to be this week's All Hail the King episode, following Angela's. Then just one last thing before I go. For Agent McFall, I got you something in Florida. You're going to have to come here to get it though. It's a pair of mouse ears and it does have my name on it though. But I didn't forget you, so I'll just hold on to these until you can get them. Well, that's it for today's segment, and I want to thank you all for listening, then send it back to the hosts.
Look at the king, always looking out, taking care of us, man. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I appreciate it. Especially if it says Kingfisher 745 on the mouse ears. I might just steal that from you, sir, and put it in our From the Helicarrier Museum. That's for sure.
Is that just your cluttered desk?
Right now, yes, it is. But we're working on that. So those are interesting teams. I do love the idea of Hawkeye with Union Jack, but you still have to have that knocked and loaded EISO first.
Right.
You know, I never actually got his other EISO, the one that gives him first go round every round or whatever it is. I never got that one. Did you guys farm any of that?
No, I remember for a while I was doing all sorts of farming. Let me pull that one up here.
Because I think that's what we're talking about against Bullseye. That was the one you
right, Hawkeye's read. Initiative, the attentive, empowered ISO 8. Hawkeye will attempt to go first in combat. And you can get that. Where is that?
See, on one of these daily missions where you can have any hero but the agent, I want to use Captain America, Quicksilver, and Hawkeye with his attentive. Let's see who goes first. Because, like, no, I go first. No, I go first. Or you can throw Loki in that mix because Loki goes first as well. But actually, Loki, we proved before in PvP, Loki goes before Quicksilver, which I found interesting.
Yeah. 233 is where you can pick that one up. Season 2, Chapter 3, Mission 3 for the attentive empowered ISO 8, which basically just gives him the chance to go first in combat. It's not like
it's not guaranteed.
Captain America, where it's a guarantee, exactly.
So that's excuse me, that is interesting. Rocket, I've not had a lot of success playing with Rocket. I do blame all the time he spent with Klotz. He fell in love with Klotz. He's like, "You're not my master, Klotz is." You know, but nice. Are there any tips that you guys can throw out that makes Rocket better? No? Okay, thanks. Cool.
Well, I hear if you steal somebody's prosthetic limbs, he does more damage.
I would totally... That would be an item I would use in battle. I don't use any of the candy other than the Halloween buckets. I use the cookies from Christmas to do stamina for everybody. Other than that, I don't use any of the stuff. But you start throwing out prosthetic limbs, I will throw those out in battle just because it's hilarious.
You just use it, he says... Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't really need that.
Yeah, but you only get one round to do the damage with, though, because then after that you get bombarded by an ADA protest. That's a debuff where you just can't do anything for the rest of the match.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Your rocket's stunned for one turn because he's laughing so hard.
There you go. Yeah. Right.
So that'd be great. What were you saying, Klotz?
I don't know what you can really do for Rocket. What do you say, Ibit?
I was just actually pulling up his the new EISO that you can get from his heroic because I wanted to see what that does for you. So his new one is loaded. It gives you fully cocked, starts combat with 5 ammo cells. He's just such a very specific type of character to play. He's, you know, you've got your moveset for him, and it's not always use what the best attack is, you know, like it is with some characters, or use what the most powerful one of your four is. It's use what you've got enough ammo for. If his EISO, starts combat with 5 ammo cells, that just really gives him a good first turn. I don't know. I've been using him with Union Jack a lot. It's funny that King was talking about Hawkeye with Rocket and Union Jack. But if I use Union Jack and Rocket together, take Hawkeye out of the equation. They're a pretty good team as far as like the follow-ups and the bonus attacks. Not as good as they used to be before they nerfed them, but that's about where I'm at with Rocket. He's not one that I pull out to play very often, for sure.
Yeah, it is that. So I'm going to be interested in seeing that video, see what the King does with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
See how that works out.
I was actually going to say exactly what Re71 said in chat. What I do for Rocket is to leave him as a blaster and use him for my PvP hero bonus. He's strictly look, don't touch.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, I mean, he's a character that was high concept, I think. And the reality is he's just not very effective. Mm-hmm. So perhaps a revisit to the way his abilities work, or at least maybe tack a zero on some of those numbers somewhere, because the damage is just not that impressive, you know what I mean? So, yeah. And he's supposed to be like, you know, the crazy gun rodent, you know what I mean? Like, he's just not doing it, but yeah.
And just for those of you listening on the podcast, I am having some Skype audio issues. It's just, I can hear you guys, just so you know, I can hear you guys, the words for word, I hear what you're saying, but there's this little, you know, digital crunch to it that comes in and out from time to time. So just acknowledging it on the podcast, just letting you know that it's not your headphones or your car speakers or whatever else it is here on this end. And I'm trying to work it out, but it is what it is. So moving on, we have a question from AJ Biega, B-I-E-G-A. He says, am I the only one having trouble in PvP? My group is hopeless and no one is talking. I am Vibranium, but keep getting partnered with Silver or non-players, as in not even Silver, don't know how that works, and it's driving me crazy. Well, yes, it's broken. What is our takeaway from PvP? I mean, there should not, especially in Diamond level, there should not be this low of a HP or even non-Silver people.
Yeah, the matchup definitely isn't working, and it's funny, this is... it's one of the first times in a while where we've gotten right from the end of one PvP season into another PvP season without a pre-VP in between. So I just wonder if they did unleash some sort of patch
for PvP. Hold that thought. I'm going to hang this up and call right back to everybody. Okay. All right, here we go. We're going to reset this. Oddly enough, you actually got your pitch of your voice got changed.
Really?
Yeah, so I've stopped playing the game on this machine, and hopefully that reset will do. So you were saying these matchups shouldn't be happening.
Right, the matchups shouldn't be happening. Basically, we're in a situation where, for the first time in a long time, Playdom has released two regular seasons back-to-back without a pre-VP, like a patch tester season in between. And it makes me wonder if they did do some sort of patch that kind of screwed things up. And since we haven't had a pre-VP to test it, they're realizing, well, crap, maybe we shouldn't issue a patch and not have a pre-VP season. But I think they kind of had to, just to get the Runaways business wrapped up before Age of Ultron comes out. That's my guess anyway, that if it weren't for Age of Ultron and some sort of imminent spec ops that we can probably guess is coming, we would have had a pre-VP where they would have tested whatever is causing problems they would have had tested before we got into it.
So what do you think? Okay, let's accept this as reality right now. Reality is that we're going to have these weird +3, +4 battles and then -30 losses if we lose.
Right.
What do we do about this? Is it just blast battles, do 10, 15, 20 a day and manage it that way?
Yeah, and cross your fingers that once you get into like Vibranium or Adamantium that you actually do start getting appropriate level matchups, because that's the problem, is you don't make enough from these little silver battles to make up for the losses that you're going to get when you're not around. So you've got to do something to make up for those. And it's maybe doing 10 battles a day or 15 battles a day. But if you're going up against these little silver ones, those will go a lot quicker, because it's basically use your AOE item, wipe that team out, move on to the next fight, use your AOE item, wipe that team out. And eventually you'll get to, a team that's actually going to give you some points when you win and set you up for some stability in the leaderboards when you're not playing.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, I guess we'll go with it. So, no, AJ, you're not the only one having trouble. There is lots of trouble going around.
Yeah, I'm wondering what he means by my group is hopeless and no one is talking. Hopefully, AJ, you're listening to us because we're talking. The From the Helicarrier Facebook group is talking. There's some other great Facebook groups you should join. And that's a great place to, you know, get some tips, some ideas on PvP teams to use, recommendations.
Yeah, it absolutely is the best place to be.
Yes.
So and there's other good ones out there besides ours. So news before we hit Expanded Universe, there's a new Kickstarter. I think Klotz has got a Kickstarter. Is that who's doing this?
Are you doing a Kickstarter, Klotz? This one might be mine. Oh, I forgot about this. No, launched a new Kickstarter yesterday. So last year it was superhero movie music like Avengers and Captain America and stuff like that. The themes from those movies done in a funky jazz style. So, you know, when you think jazz, I don't want you to think about jazz like Kenny G and Mamby Pamby elevator music. I want you to think of stuff like Miles Davis and the cool stuff they played in the movie Whiplash and stuff like that, where you've got like this bassy Hammond organ and all this stuff.
Nice.
We're releasing a brand new album. Just started a Kickstarter for it, and it is a Star Wars cover album. So covers of like the original theme and the asteroid battle and Han Solo and the princess and maybe even that damn Ewok song. All of these done with a 3-piece band, piano by Andrew Allen, drums by Truman House, and bass guitar by Byron House, who is the bass guitarist for Robert Plant's Band of Joy. So a Led Zeppelin connection going on in this album. It's Kickstarter right now. You can go to tinyurl.com/StarWarsJazz and find it. tinyurl.com or tiny.cc/StarWarsJazz. Both of those work. So check it out. There's lots of, you know, if you just want to back it on the cheapest level, you'll get a digital copy of the album. Boom, you're all set. And if you want to back at higher levels, we've got USB drives, we've got T-shirts, we've got posters. I don't know if you've heard of the comic book Bone back in the 90s. Steve Hammaker, who worked with Jeff Smith on that book, is going to do some custom Star Wars artwork for this project. So, really excited about that. Yeah.
That's pretty nifty.
So check it out, tiny.cc/StarWarsJazz.
Cool.
Are you guys going to do the Cantina song?
Oh, hell yes. As a matter of fact, the artist, Scott Johnson, that's going to be doing the cover art, and I've been working with him on an idea for the cover that's going to look like one of those old Capitol Jazz albums with like the really funky, not Art Deco, but like an Art Nouveau style cover of the Cantina band guys, Figgin' Dan and the Modal Nodes, those big bulbous guys that you see and playing the Cantina. These guys awesome. Right here. And it's going to be four of them in kind of a Capitol Jazz looking style. So should be a really cool cover.
That sounds cool.
That does sound great.
Now there is some other universe, extended universe stuff.
Yes.
Going on. And W. Klotz.
The first one came from Klotz, yeah.
Yeah, I saw news today. Hold on one second, I got to pull it back up here. I'm all the way down and from the field already. it's mighty. I saw today that they cast Hawkgirl for a DC television show spinoff from Arrow and Flash. Mm-hmm. So, that's exciting news. I mean, I know it's not Marvel, but
has she made an appearance on Arrow? Because I know she hasn't made an appearance on Flash. Yeah,
but I find it interesting that they're already planning to do this spinoff before they've even made an appearance. But this is really good news because I think this further implies that they're really building a real strong brand here for DC with the CW shows. And I'm excited about that because I love Arrow. I love where Arrow is today. I love where Flash has been. Like Flash just had some awesome episodes back to back recently. You know, so yeah. They're doing a great job. I mean, it's not Marvel Cinematic Universe level, but for your weekly serial television show, it is, the effects are great. The writing is great. The acting is solid. They've just been pumping out a lot of good quality stuff and compelling stories. So I'm very hopeful that this will continue to be a successful little mini franchise empire that they're developing here.
For sure. And, yeah. The spinoff is also going to have Adam. So the guy that we've been seeing on Arrow that took over Ray Palmer, the Captain Cold and Heat Wave, and the gal who played Black Canary somehow making an appearance back in this show. So we don't know how that's going to happen, but Katie, what is it? Katie Holmes. Yeah, not Katie Perry either. Anyway, the gal before Lauren Lance that was Black Canary is going to be in this. So.
Yeah, so exciting stuff. And then this other one is you, I assume, Ibbot?
It is me, yeah. So a new game launched today on iOS and Android called Marvel Mighty Heroes, and it is a an interesting, I don't know, brawler, I guess. It's a multiplayer, simultaneous multiplayer brawler where you're matched up with four other people or three other people, and basically you're fighting waves of enemies. And it's that same kind of big head style as, what is it, Superhero League, or what's the kids' Marvel show?
Oh, Marvel's Mighty Avengers.
Right. So it's that same, yeah, that kind of cartoony big head style. So I'm guessing this game might be targeted more for that. Although it's interesting, they've got that Deus Ex Machina character, I can't remember his name, something like that, that was in Avengers at the start of the Incursion storyline as a villain in this thing. So there's some great comic book tie-ins and some villains we haven't seen in anything else. But I don't know. I haven't gotten into it. I've played a little bit, and it's probably going to be one of those things that's like, well, glad this was free. Delete.
Yeah.
Yeah, Superhero Squad. That's it, Agent Wiggles. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I saw you put it in the notes. I just pulled it up, downloading to my phone now. Mm-hmm. I'm not a brawler fan, so we'll see. But again, anything that's Marvel, we'll try it out.
Yeah, gotta try it. Sure.
You gotta do that.
We are canceling From the Helicarrier and starting a new show for this new game.
That's right.
Dude, we should have just started the show that way since it's April 1st tomorrow.
Yeah.
Should have been like, oh, we'd just like to announce that From the Helicarrier is over and we are now
Super
Mighty Marvel Funtime show.
I panicked a few people a few episodes back because we're coming to the end of Spec Ops. So I titled the show without thinking about it, Approaching the End. And people were like, is this the last FTH? What's going on? Are y'all not doing this show? I was like, no, I'm sorry. It's the end of Spec Ops. Didn't mean to send panic up the line there. My bad. Sorry. So, yeah. that might have not have been a great April Fool's joke. But speaking of April 1st being tomorrow, now, Ibbot, you said game day you thought was while we were in Vegas, the 16th. Yes. I'm looking at the clock
all
right now.
Fingers and toes.
On PvP, it says it just changed over, so it hit the 5 p.m. Eastern mark. It says 16 days remaining.
Okay.
So that would actually make game day that Friday the 17th, I think. At 5 p.m. It's hard to say. Is it 60? See, if there's 16 from right now, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So that might make it. It's with their clock, it's always hard to say. They do another 24 hours, right? It'll say one day remaining, and then it'll count the 24 hours. That is going to be right in that weekend, but I'm not sure if it'll be the 16th. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're talking about. Ibbot and I are both going to be in Vegas on the 16th. That's a Thursday. We'll actually be there the 14th as well. We'll be doing our show from Vegas.
And the 13th and the 12th.
And the 15th. And yes. Yeah. Right. We're there that whole week. So we want to do a meetup for FDH while we can. And I know one person for sure who's like, if you do a meetup, I'm coming.
Oh, cool.
So that would be Mike Woodard, who does our outro music here at the outro announcement. So we're going to have some people. We're talking about doing, if we figure out exactly right, we're going to do game day meetup. So like for the last hour of game day, we can all be there with our laptops, playing our final battles, getting through, chatting with each other, having fun, and do a basically a game day meetup, which in theory would be that Thursday the 16th. If that works out correctly, which it's, what time is it for you now, Ibit?
It's 3:10. So I'm 2 hours behind you, but it's going to be an hour even earlier than that.
Right.
So it'll be, if it ends at 5 PM, Eastern, then it's going to end at 2 PM.
So that'd be just after lunch. So we could do like from 12:30 to the end of game day.
Yeah.
Meet up, and that way we could all, and we'll have more details on the 14th.
Even if it's not game day, I'd still say a meetup is a great idea. And especially that Thursday, we can find some place, grab a lounge area, get some drinks, whatnot. And put all this Marvel Avengers Alliance stuff behind us for a while and just have fun.
Yeah.
All this damn PvP crap. Because, we're going to find a nice lounge. There's going to be a perfect spot. And it's going to have this trickle Wi-Fi that's like, attack. All right, well, let's sit there and wait while it resolves and attack.
Yeah. So hopefully it'll be that. We'll be able to talk, hang out, and do some resolving stuff and battling.
People are confirming in the chat room, by the way, that the game day will be April 17th. So
we won't be able to do game day then.
That's all right. Again, you want to be somewhere where Wi-Fi is not going to be an issue.
So what we might do then, if you want to come out live for the show, we'll be doing the show from Vegas on the 14th, and we can do a meetup that way. Yeah, people can come out for the show. And
they'll have to, if we do the show in the, we'll have to figure out where to do the show where they don't have to have a VIP pass to come see it.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out. They wouldn't need a VIP. They'd need some kind of pass if it's the pavilion. So, yes, we'll have to do something outside of
exactly
that. That's fine. We'll figure it out.
There's plenty of places over at the Westgate where we can grab some tables and do. I mean, hell, we could even do a show there. You never know.
This is true. So Buck just dropped me this thing about Earth 12-13-1 or 12131 or however you want to say it. Mm-hmm. And it shows an Avengers Alliance logo, and it says a reality where a mysterious pulse hit Earth, a phenomenon which affected technology worldwide, left strange energy signatures and traces of a powerful material called Isotope 8, which had the ability to enhance its users' powers. SHIELD created an alliance of heroes led by one of their newest agents, with an aim to collect ISO 8 before any supervillain could get their hands on it. Marvel Gaming Universe is where this is showing up. So this is the first I've heard about a pulse. So this might be hints of something to come in the game. I don't remember the opening story, but I don't think it was anything about a pulse. So, but Thomas Buck labeled it Marvel Gaming Universe based on the new pulse. So...
Weird.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where that goes. So with that, I think we are ready to move into from the field. Ibit called what I wanted. That's okay.
Well, I figured out that the way you had them pasted in here, the person who reads this short first one has to read the longest one.
Okay,
it's four down from that one. So I'm fine. I'll take this one. Agent Tico wrote in and said, "Hello, fellow agents." I think it's hello, not help.
Yeah, I think right.
"Hello, fellow agents. I have one thing to say on PvP starting so soon." No. Agent Tico, out.
That's it. That was agreed.
Agent Cyborg writes in, "Good evening. I've been playing the game daily for about a year and a half, and I've been listening to the show for about a year. Love this show. I listen to it when I come home from work at 4 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. I remember you talking about the ELO rating system and defensive battles during the last show, and I wanted to share my experiences from the last PvP and the very first day of PvP 20. I'm level 284, and I finish in Adamantium with a rating of exactly 2,000. My attack team is set up with Bruiser, Null, and Nico. My defense team is Invisible Woman and Molly. I went into the last 2 days of the previous tournament with a rating of 2,200 and had to fight constantly to keep it from dropping. Over those 2 days, I lost around 500 points that I had to make up by a lot of playing. I only have a little over half my characters to 14, so I feel I did okay. Now on to the first day of PvP 20. I woke up around 3 p.m. and did my 5 battles. Had to do 7 because forced refresh for 2 of them. Then I logged off and went to work. Logged on at work and I was up 111 points. In the 5 hours since going to work, I had 45 defensive battles. All the wins were 5 and 9 points and losses counted between 22 and 25. As of right now, my ranking is 984 with only doing my 5 wins. Looking at everyone else on my list, it seems a little crazy, so I just wanted to share. Thanks for all the great tips and advice.
It is a little crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, going into 2000 and then dropping down to 985 and having like only 45 defensive battles. Well, not only, that's a lot of defensive battles while you're gone.
That is an unmanageable amount of defensive battles. Like
it's hard to come back from that.
You can't. I mean, you literally cannot counter being attacked 45 times in 5 hours. Mm-hmm. You can't fight the battles fast enough. Mm-hmm. So that's crazy. And I honestly think that's one of the indicators of a flawed system, is that that's not a question of whether you're willing to put in the work, whether you're skilled enough or anything like that. That is just physically beyond our capabilities. We cannot run enough battles to counteract getting attacked that much, assuming that you're not winning almost all of them.
Right.
Especially with the way the rating is just devastating on losses. So, that is definitely something, Playdom, if you're listening, look into that, because that shouldn't be happening.
And there should be a cap to, in one battle, how much you can lose. I can't say I've ever won, or that I've noticed I've won plus 29, plus 30 points. But I could tell you how many times I've lost that much, and it's a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, there should be a balance to if I'm fighting somebody on my level and they beat me, 10 to 15 points is fair. You know, for a win or a loss, it should just be why isn't it just equal? If you win, you get 15 points. If you lose, you lose 15 points. I mean, I don't understand why it has to be this range from zero, which I've won 0 points before, to losing 30. I mean, that's a huge range of points. I mean, that's like 20% or something big. I mean,
yeah,
it's just
that's really unfortunate, and it's really crazy.
Yeah. All right, Agent Max Black says, hello, everybody. This is Agent Max Black from Malaysia. First thing first, I heard Iggy in my head for a second. First thing first, I'm a realist. Yeah, anyway, if you want to give me... You got to understand, most of the mashups that come across my radar have her in it. So I hear it a lot. All right, from my other show. Anyway, first things first, if you want to give me Sparta shout-out, go ahead, because I'm already level 300, even though it's for a month or two. Well, we'll give you a very old shout-out. This is Sparta.
Sparta.
There you go. So, okay, welcome to Spartans. I don't expect Spec Ops 25 were coming. I didn't expect Spec Ops 25 was coming, and it pissed me off a little bit. But don't get me wrong, it's still cool and great. However, things that aren't cool about it are it costs about 700 plus CP, and it just runs for 25 days. That's a lot of CP if you don't have the heroes, yeah. Not as much as some of the other stuff. And don't get Claude started on chapter, was it 7? How much CP that costs.
Nope.
How on earth new and medium level players are ever going to farm that much CP? Well, again, in case you weren't aware, Max, the dailies, man. I think they did fix that where there's a CP day on the dailies.
Yeah, but you're still not going to get like 700 CP. In that amount of time.
Normally, I would, okay, in this amount of time, but you got to look at the bigger picture. Okay, you always have to be working towards this. You always, in my opinion, the game is not about playing it. The game is about acquiring all the heroes. This is Pokemon for Marvel. If you really look at it.
Got to collect them
all. You kind of do, don't you? If you want to have a good PvP team, you have to have the whole team and have them leveled up past 10 minimum. You know, if you want to get the new stuff, you have to have all these older characters. And that started with season two. With season one, it didn't really matter. I mean, yeah, you'd have to have Captain America to do the one special mission, or you have to have Iron Man to do the one special mission. But with season two, they launched, hey, you need to have Storm and Kitty Pryde and somebody else. And I remember that specifically because I didn't have Storm or Kitty Pryde because I never wanted them. But when they said, oh, you have to have them for these deploys, okay, now I recruit them. So over time, I got to say, there's this guy named Henry. Let's see if it's this Henry, so I'll give him full credit. Henry McCray. He and I talk all the time. This dude is a CP farming fiend. I mean, every week or two, maybe 3 weeks at the most, he's like, yep, I'm back up to 400 or 500 CP. You know, who's your recommendation to get? And I've been working with this team a lot, and I kind of have fun shopping for characters again. It's like, oh, who you're looking at? And here's why I do this one versus that one. You know, the same reasons when I bought them in the first place. And then 2-3 weeks later, it's all right, I spent my money. Now I'm back up to 400 or 500 CP. And so if you're just constantly farming that CP as a lower level person or as a new player, you need to be focused on the dailies and then pick, is it going to be Spec Ops? Is it going to be PvP? Am I going to be able to get through Spec Ops and gold skip some stuff? You know, that's my thing. I agree. In the 25 days, you're not going to raise 700 CP. But I've been saying all along, as these characters come out, grab them as best you can, at least get them on your flight deck leveling. So that's his first question. I'm gonna let you guys say something about that before we move on with this email.
Totally, totally agree. I mean, you know, I'm the completionist, and heroes uber allus, heroes overall. I can go without collecting a weapon. I can go without, you know, getting everything else out of a Spec Ops. But if I don't have the hero, then what am I doing it for? No, heroes are the way, basically the way I advance through the game. And that's, you know, that's not for everybody, but I think that's a really good strategy because chances are you're going to need them later on, just like Charles said.
Yeah.
I definitely agree that heroes are the most important thing in the game. I'm glad to hear all three of us finally coming to that same conclusion. Because we've had that conversation in the past about, you know, like what's more important, items or heroes. And heroes, especially at this point, the proof's in the pudding. It's heroes because heroes affect everything else. My only thing is Spec Ops is a limited run event with rewards that are not available normally. So my thought is that while you might still have to, you know, spring some CP or maybe gold skip something here or there to get there, it shouldn't be this brick wall of requirement where like 700 CP of characters is too many characters, in my opinion, at least too many CP worth of characters. In the past, it's usually been like you'd need like one Spec Ops character and then a couple of the normal ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a little bit more reasonable because that means that you can kind of participate in the Spec Ops. You can run, you know, back then it was 12-5, but nowadays you could run dailies and you might buy a little bit of gold and use it to gold skip the epic boss or something and then, you know, recruit the character or whatever. That was manageable. But 700 CP is just a brick wall of like, well, you know what? You don't get to participate in the Spec Ops because if you're not willing to spend the money, because you cannot farm that amount of CP in that 30 days and continue to do everything else. So I would say like roll that back. Don't do that per se. We definitely do want to keep pushing people forward because it's so important to get the hero from everything. Like get the hero if you can from Spec Ops, definitely. Try to get the lockbox heroes because those are usually pretty obtainable. PvP has been really tough lately, so it's not always the slam dunk automatic that it has been for a lot of, you know, people like us who are completionists and play all the time. So in that case, you've got to be prepared. Well, when that hero, like for example, for me, Nova was the first one that I didn't get since I've started playing again. Nova's available again, so he's on my list, and I'm weighing him against some other guys, and I still have some other catching up to do. The biggest issue with this game right now for people who are still, you know, advancing, who are in the middle of it, is the sheer number of heroes we have, the pace and the pace that they come out with.
Yeah.
We just had a Spec Ops where four heroes came out at once between the PvP, because we had double lockbox and the tournament and the Spec Ops. Mm-hmm. That is insane. That is like,
and a purchasable one on top of that.
Right. You know? Well, exactly. Yeah. You know, so that is a lot to catch up on. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see some fine-tuned systems to make it a little, because the thing is, CP is almost exclusively for recruiting characters. There's, you know, you can buy a couple ISO with it and stuff like that, but for the most part, there's really nothing else to spend it on. Mm-hmm. So make it available. You know what I mean? Like, make it farmable. And I'm not talking the 12-2, you know, right. will I bash my skull against my desk
right, before the slog. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Before I get enough CP to recruit the next guy. I mean, just make CP a little bit more available. Keep those premium items on gold. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this is all from a design perspective, by the way. From a player perspective, you just got to fight it out. You got to keep trying. You got to be smart with your expenditure of gold and CP. I would strongly suggest, like, outside of getting the couple of basic items that you're definitely going to use in PvP all the time, don't spend it on items. Spend it on CP. Get caught up. I did the math at one point, like farming versus just spending money that you would make at your day job. It's actually still cheaper to just spend money to buy gold, to buy CP, because the amount of the minutes and hours that you would put into farming the CP to recruit most of these characters far outweighs what, you know, what a couple hours at your job would cost. And now I'm not saying that everybody has to go out and buy gold. If you're a free player, that's fine. But just realize that's the wall you're facing, is you got to get as many heroes as possible.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you're really going to catch up and be able to play with the big boys. And, from a design perspective, Playdom really needs to realize that, you know, you got to dangle the carrot. And in this case, they just put it on a shelf that's too high for some of these guys.
Yeah.
So the carrot's not easy enough to get to make it fun.
And that's just going to discourage people and have them walk away, and that's not good for anyone. So, that's my stance on all that.
All right, so here's the other two things he says. I'm watching the clock as we're rushing out here. Another thing, it has heroic battles that will cost us more USO, and will we ever get to farm those ESOs after the spec up is over? We don't know. Hopefully PD will reuse it for covert tasks and make it permanent in season one, just like the Warriors 3 heroic battles, which would be fun.
Oh, that's totally a way they could do it. Just move those heroic battles to season one. Brilliant.
Yeah. I love heroic battles. I'm a fiend for heroic battles. So to be able to play them over and over again would be fun. Number three, there's also PvP a few days later, and I really hope that they give us 5 CP for 5 daily wins. Instead, they give us silver. It's still useful, but giving CPs will lessen the burden of farming for new and medium-level players. And he's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Actually, I want PD to do this Spec Ops and upcoming Spec Ops that need plentiful of CPs, just like Nico Minoru Spec Ops. It ran for 37 days, and PvP gave us 5 CPs daily for 5 daily wins. Which was gorgeous. So that's all for now, and I hope to write more in the future. So he's dead on. I mean, he's got some.
Yeah,
he's right on.
God, I forgot about the days when you got PvP for every win battle for those 5 for that day. You got a CP. Those were the days, man. Bring those back.
Well, the first thing they did that was Agent Venom, and that was the very first time that people complained about what was going on, because so many people got in just for the 5 CP. That was the first time I saw adamantium move from 0.5% to like 5% in your end, because so many people played it. It made that pool much larger. And people were like, oh, all the adamantiums who were getting it before were like, oh, anybody can walk into adamantium. I'm like, yes, I did. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was my first tournament back, so I was but that was also PvP gate, as you recall.
That's right.
So that was like a real tense time in MAA history, because it was like, oh yeah, we have a million freaking people playing PvP, and then you made these changes the 2 days before the end of the tournament, and then we get extended a week. That week was just like, and I remember Woods being like, yeah, you get 35 more CP, you know, just point that out. You get seven more days of CP. And we're all like, yeah, but this has been the most grueling tournament.
But like, we're done, Justin.
Yeah.
Because it was already a long tournament, too. I think it was like longer than a normal 30-day tournament. So it was just like so brutal.
It was.
But
it was take that special shower after brutal.
But Agent Ninja wrote in, said, greetings from the Helicarrier crew. This is going to make up for that really short one I read at the beginning. I hope you're all progressing as you'd like in the deluge of content we have in MA right now. Fair warning, there's some blatant rabbit trails, and even without them, this is a little long-winded. I'd like to address a topic of concern for PvP that may have always existed, but has only become relevant enough to me because it has happened to me for the past few days in a row in PvP. In my 5 daily battles, and the few that may follow, given that I have an opening in my schedule to do so, I am being matched against players who have no chance at defeating me. They have only a handful of heroes and are more often than not below level 200, many even below or around 100 when I check my recent battles tab in the battle reports window. Considering I'm a Spartan shield agent with a rather current armory, updated through post-daily 5 roulette spins and silver items, and a stupid, completely unintentional staff of storms by my poor gold, and a full roster of characters save Chase and Victor, obviously, I've made gains averaging a plus 5 rating per battle over the last 2 to 4 days on my attacks, but come back to red numbers from my defenses, which are many and currently have greater effect on my rating. I'm currently in diamond with 45 attacks. Is it possible that the game is trying to discourage me from playing so much by giving me these low-value fights so that the higher leagues get a flood of agents later, but more again at the same time? Or is matchmaking just making PvP unfun for me for no reason? Am I the only one experiencing this, or do other Spartan Shield agents have similar stories? Nope. You're not alone, as you've heard us talking about earlier in the show. Hopefully they get this figured out.
Nobody wants to do the Michael Jackson song? Anybody? Because I'll do it.
Go ahead.
You are not alone. That's all I remember. Anyway, carry on.
All right. I thought you'd go, Agent, are you okay? Are you okay, Agent? Right. On a different topic, I've shot myself in the foot way too many times in Spec Ops 25. I've been focusing on trying to beat the heroic battles instead of maximizing my score until I 3-star the missions. I think now I know why, though. I don't know if the EISOs will be available in any other way anytime soon, other than maybe gold at the store, and gold items are only sometimes worth the money / time given over to get them. Like Hawkeye's in the third mission. It's great for Hawkeye, but it still doesn't make him top tier PvP, but could be some fun in PvE. And in my opinion, PvP is where you want to have EISO that makes a hero shine. Not so much in PvE where the agent can become your star attraction with the right weapon setup.
Yeah.
This has ultimately led to getting behind in mission stars, and I might not even have as many run-throughs of these missions available to me as time marches on because of how these ESO heroic battles have played their psychological game with me and beat me almost senseless. I can't actually trick myself out of more money and gold because I don't have any real disposable income to speak of. For those who do, though, this is a huge trap if you aren't prepared for it. Play Spec Ops like it's any other Spec Ops. Even though Molly, Groot, and Rocket have some powerful EISOs available, it isn't worth not getting the reward hero to dive headlong into the possible Spec Ops heroic battle money sink cash grab we have in Spec Ops 25. Well, I see that rabbit hunting has been good, this message. Perhaps I'll be more focused next time. Strike from the shadows, Agent Ninja. P.S. Focused. Great. Now that I'm thinking about that old psychologist from Agent Carter, and you are too, and I'm also fully aware that there's another rabbit trail that is still tangentially related to the psychology-related message, I just really need to click send and see who gets tortured reading this tomorrow, if anyone at all. Yes, it was me, Agent Ninja.
Focus.
Focus.
Good points overall. And I need to get Admiral Akbar. It's a trap. Because that's definitely a trap for young players, man. When they launch those gold bonus, whatever, is no. And something that he mentioned that I really actually didn't think about too much is I think I am more focused on hitting those heroic battles in the Spec Ops than I am about progressing sometimes. I need to.
And you've really got to focus on making sure that you just get a good start, like no deaths, so that you can get to 3 stars as quickly as possible to get that next to last task. And if you're focusing on the heroic battles and you keep dying, then your score bonus at the end of that mission is going to be a bummer.
Yeah.
It's going to be a real bummer. Yeah. And you're going to end up having to go through that mission multiple times anyway. So save it.
And speaking of saving it, we have a few more from the fields that will go out in the email this week. You can go to thehelicarrier.com and you see from the flight deck as our ones that we haven't read or the emails that have gone by in the past. And you can read the emails yourself. There's some great stuff, including, as much as I hate to miss it, including Agent Greg Dude here. And it's time for this month's mobile or MAA Mobile Minute. So that will be on the website this weekend, and it'll go out in the newsletter if you're subscribed to the newsletter. If you're not, go to thehelicarrier.com, and you should be able to subscribe to the newsletter there. And if you can't, just email us from thehelicarrier@gmail.com, and we'll get you on the list. But now we need to talk about something that has happened this week. Earlier this weekend, we got message via Frank Allen in the Agents Only Lounge that one of our agents has passed away. And it was a very hard message to see. And of course, those of us who were friends with him went to his Facebook page and saw all the rest in pieces messages. Klotz wrote a thing here. Actually, Klotz edited a thing here. And I think, do you want to read this message, Klotz? That was his last email to us.
Jesse Henderson, also known as Agent Disco Booty, wrote in last week, and he was the first letter at the top of the leftovers that went out on Saturday. So I wanted to read that because, you know, we did lose him, but also because he had some really good insight that kind of went against what we talked about on the show. And so he kind of wanted to counter what we said and how we felt. And I think his perspective is really solid. So I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. So if it sounds a little disjointed, it's because we're really short on time. Yeah. And I'm going to jump around this a little bit. But the big thing that he wanted to say is that he finished at rating 2131. And unlike some of y'all, I had a pretty consistent and positive PvP experience this time around. He does not believe in waiting for the last day to rank up because we have no idea how we get targeted on defense. It is totally out of our control, but offense is in our control. And so he thinks it's very short-sighted to think that game day is all that matters. What really matters is the number of attacks you make. The offensive team you assemble, the items you use, what matters is the stuff you control. And he also wanted to throw some credit Playdom's way and basically say that they have been making changes. They've made a lot of positive changes since it was actually last year in March that they committed to reconfiguring PvP and improving it. And, you know, as a side note, I agree. You know, they have made vast improvements. They've solved a lot of the issues that were problems back then. And then some of the changes they have made some, you know, new hurdles and things that we encounter on a day-to-day basis. He was saying here that the past couple PvP tournaments, he was consistent in his daily attacks, 10 to 20 per day, because he doesn't support the whole game day thing, like just fighting on game day. During these PvP tournaments, he did not have massive game day carnage that we all talk about. It could be coincidence, luck, or the RNG gods working in mysterious ways. I'm just saying. So basically, yeah, that was his big point, is he's like, don't just count on game day being the only day. Fight consistently throughout the whole tournament, try to get way more than just your five in a day. And so I really wanted to read this because I think that, you know, this is a suggestion that we could take to heart. You know, we talk about how we're frustrated with the way the tournaments are right now and everything, but I don't think a lot of us are really trying to do 10 to 20 fights a day consistently. And it might be that that sheer number of battles is really putting them out, you know, putting him and other people who play like him outside of the reach of that last day crunch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's something to consider. That was the last communique we got from him. And I suppose I'll just slide into the next part here.
Charles. Yeah, that'll work.
So that last letter, you know, he sent it in last week, and a few days later, he passed away suddenly. And we wanted to take a few moments to honor him. He had a tremendous impact on all of us at From the Helicarrier. Jesse had been an early supporter of the show and a constant source of positive energy and feedback. Whether it was in a letter to the show, posts in the Agents Only Lounge, or private conversations, Jesse regularly brought his unique brand of humor and insight to the community. Jesse was a paragon of positivity and an amazing personality, and will be sorely missed. Jesse is survived by his wife and young sons, who have asked for privacy in this difficult time. We at From the Helicarrier want to honor Jesse for his positive contributions as a member of our community and the world at large. We are setting up an Extra Life team page in his honor, which is a gaming-based charity that benefits the Children's Miracle Network. We have selected the Riley Hospital for Children at Indiana University as the beneficiary of our team's fundraising, which treats treats children in Jesse's community. With this charitable effort, we hope to honor our friend and in some small way, keep his positive energy flowing. Further details about Extra Life and Team FTH's future plans can be found in the show notes. So they'll go up when we post the show on the website and such.
And we'll actually put special links on the website, and we'll put links on the Facebook page as well.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, Klotz passed this message on to me early Saturday morning, and it was a hard thing. And I did think back of the one Google Hangout that we did. He was there. And I want to say, if I get it wrong, I apologize, but every time I think of this statement, I'm pretty sure he's the one who said it. We one of the things we asked the people who were there is like, hey, are you getting enough for your patronage, really, your Patreon pledges? Are you feeling like we're giving back to you an equal amount? And everybody agreed to the affirmative, but I'm pretty sure he's the one who said it. He's like, you know what? This is money I've been spending on alcohol. You've saved my liver, you know, a couple of times over. So it's just, Jesse was just this big ball of light. And like you said, class positivity. And I pulled up the last private message I had from him and looked through it just to see what was he and I were talking about. And this to me was him in a nutshell. He said, hello, FTH brother. I'm getting an MAA coworker friend a Facebook gift card to buy MAA gold for the holidays. This is back after Thanksgiving, before Christmas. But I also want him to get access to our exclusive Agents Only Lounge paid by me. How should I do this? I can increase, and he goes on about details. But his whole thing was, this is a gift I want to give them. I'm getting enough out of this lounge. I want to give this to somebody else. And we talked about the ways he did it. And we came to a very easy agreement. And he goes, I upped my Patreon to be $5 per episode so my friend can get access to the Agents Only Lounge. Only access to the lounge is needed, because we talked about the different rewards. He plays a lot, but he could benefit from the chat in the lounge, and he can add more friends. And he gave me the name, which we're going to talk about later. But he says, may the disco be with you. And is how he signed off. And in this vein, he sponsored Gary... I'm sorry, Gary, I can't say your last name. It's S-E-S-Z-E-S-Z-Y-C-K-I. I have no... Gary, Agent Gary. You know who you are. You're his coworker and his friend, and he sponsored you, and you're still an active member in the Agents Only Lounge. So in light of who he was and how he did things, we're going to make that a permanent membership for Gary there, so that he never has to worry about anything, and just to do that in honor of Jesse. So, do you want to say anything, Ibbet?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have the personal communications with him via Facebook like you guys did. However, he definitely touched me through the From the Field letters that he would send in, and I always loved reading the Agent Disco Booty messages, because they were so damn funny and so well written, and you could tell this guy had such a great sense of humor, and he will be missed, and his letters will be missed. His contribution to the show and to the Facebook group will absolutely be missed, and raise a glass in his honor.
Yeah. I said something, looking at his page, if you were his friend, there's just so many things that he was influential in, and members of these higher organizations that he was a part of, and he affected everybody's life in that way. I never met him personally either. We talked that one time on the Google Hangout, then there's been your messages back and forth. But I got to say something about the power of community. And that as you guys join our Patreon and or just really as you contact me, I talk to so many people who are not part of the Agents Only Lounge. that count as friends now. The guy I referenced earlier, Henry McRae, he just talks to me because we play the game. He's not a part of anything else that we do. Sometimes he even forgets we have a show. But he just has made that connection. That's the thing about community, is that connection. And I posted this on House of the Bear. This is where we're going to leave off here. I need to make sure that I have this ready to go. Okay. So on the House of the Bear, this is just something as I processed through the day of how hard it was hitting me that somebody I really didn't know, just I felt that loss so deeply. And I said, it speaks to a life that never having met, the loss of this one has felt deep. So I just know that he's been effective in many people's lives.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes, on the helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the boss has fled.